Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, and our Father, truly it is thy word that has drawn us together this morning hour. We have come to worship thee. We have come to hear the words of truth and life. We have come to be encouraged in our walk with thee. And so we pray, Father, a blessing upon our being together as we commit this time into thy care and keeping. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. With God's help, I would like to read out of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11.
Ljudi, čitat će se iz Staroga Zaveta iz knjige Propovednika, glava 11. Propovednika, glava 11.
Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. And he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whither shall prosper, neither this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for these things God will bring thee into judgment. And therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. The book of Ecclesiastes, as we're well aware, was written by King Solomon. King Solomon being considered one of the wisest men on earth that ever was on earth. Because God had given him all this wisdom, he had wrote many chapters here and with a lot of wisdom in them. But what we read here this morning about casting our bread upon the waters, it's referring to something in the spiritual realm. He's not talking about just throwing out bread and the waters and watching it dissipate, or maybe the animals eat it, whatever. But he's talking about spiritual giving here. And that's why he's talking about this bread as being the spiritual bread, which is of Jesus Christ. So he says, cast your bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. But then he says, give a portion to seven and also to eight. So what he's referring to here, don't go sparingly. And when we're talking about giving, we're talking about serving God, we're talking about our spiritual sowing, if you will. In order for us to spiritually sow, we have to consider being carnally minded or spiritually minded, which reminds me of the scriptures that the Apostle Paul wrote in chapter 8, in Romans chapter 8. And here's what he says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we need, in order for us to spread and to cast our bread upon the waters in a spiritual manner, we must be spiritually minded. And so we're talking about sowing the seed, sowing good things, sowing and being helpful to people, even as the brother read or prayed, that we would be helpful for those that are in need. Be aware of that. And so we read this also in Galatians chapter 6, where he says, the Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians, and he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then he goes on to say, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto all them who are of the household of faith. But what is he saying here? What we're going to sow, we so shall reap. And if we sow fleshly, we're going to reap fleshly. If we sow spiritually, we're going to reap spiritually. And so this is what the Apostle Paul is driving home here, the case of us, situation of us casting our breads upon the water, and they'll find them in due time. And so he goes on to say of a certain certainties of life. There's certain things in life that are just, they're certain. He says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. So in other words, these are certain things that happen. They're certainties. And we can rely on them, or we can believe in them, or trust them in, if you will. And so as we think about the certainties of life, we wonder sometimes how certain things really are in life. When the tree falls and it lands there, we know that's certain. It's not going to go no place until you cut it up and use it. But this is referring to just a tree that is knocked over, blown down, or whatever the case might be, and that's where it's going to stay. That's where it is. And so that's a certainty of life. But then he goes on to say of the uncertainties, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. And so this is something that we really don't know and don't understand. It's like when we sow seeds into the ground. You put a seed in the ground, and if it's fertilized and the ground is properly prepared, that seed will grow. But we don't know exactly how. We don't know exactly when it's going to come up. We don't know some of these things. We know it'll come up, or we believe and trust that it will, but it don't always sometimes. And this is what he's talking about when in sowing, that if you consider the wind, you're not going to sow. And if you consider the, as he says here, that if you sow in the morning, or sow thy seed in the evening, withhold thy hand, for thou knowest not whither it shall prosper, or this is that, or whether they both shall be alike. And so some of the things are just, we just don't really know. We trust God, we believe that it's going to be, but we don't really know the outcome. It's just like when we plan things, we don't always know how well they're going to work out. Yes, we make plans. We make reservations maybe, or where we would plan to go. That's understandable. But we don't know if that can even happen. In fact, we don't even know what the next day is going to bring. There are such uncertainties sometimes in life. In this day and age now, it's even worse, I believe, of uncertainties than it's ever been. Especially when we hear about and read in the news of, and this is what's happening over the years. It's not nothing new. There shall be wars and rumors of wars. Nations shall rise against nations. We don't know which ones, which nation's going to be next. Get into a war. Our own nation may get into a war. These things are uncertain. But in order for us to really understand, we need to trust God in all things. Simply because of the uncertainty of life the way it really is. And so I believe that if we can focus on trusting our God, and believing that, and we know that He knows the future, that's not a question. He knows what's ahead of us. And so we don't know it. And so we have to trust Him in order to overcome this uncertainty of life. Sometimes that uncertainty can overwhelm us, especially if we don't know what's going to happen in our lives. Sometimes things don't turn out the way we planned or when we expected. But if we trust God, we don't need to worry about the uncertainties. He will see us through. That takes a lot of faith. That takes a lot of trust. And this is what I believe that the Lord wants us to do. And this is what the apostle, Solomon is writing about here. He goes on to say that truly light is sweet and pleasant, a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun. And I mentioned someone the other day when the sun came out and it was a nice sunny day, I thought, isn't it nice to see the sun after several cloudy days that we had? It seemed like you're so welcome to see the sun come. And that's so true what he's saying here, that it's a pleasant thing for the light to come, for the sun, to see the sun. And so, but he says, if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. So yes, we're not certain even how long we're going to live. Might get to 80, might get to 90. You might not make it to 50. Again, one of them uncertainty things. But if we can trust the Lord, and if we remember the days of darkness, as he says here, there will be days of darkness. We got to expect things to happen in life that are turned bad, turned sour, not good. That happens. Those are dark days that we experience. But as he says here, remember that all these things happen, is all vanity. And the preacher, as he calls him, several places in the scriptures that he writes here in Ecclesiastes, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. When you think of life, and you think of all the things we accomplish or don't accomplish, want to accomplish, and we strive to make a living, we strive to serve and help our family, feed our family, raise a family, whatever the case might be. But we remember that all of that is going to pass away. All that's going to, and he considers it vanity or vexation of spirit. So when he talks about these kinds of things, we wonder sometimes really what in life isn't vanity. And really, if you think about it, there's nothing in life. It's all going to come and it's going to go. We may have a home, we may have to have a car, All those things are necessities, true, but it's vanity. And if we think spiritually, we don't need to be too concerned about that. Even when Christ said, don't worry about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat, and God will take care of you. And all of this is vanity, but if we need it, that's true. But God will take care of us if we put our trust and our cares upon him. And that's why he says here, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. And when he says young man, he's not just referring to the young men. He's referring to all of us, men and women alike. But he says, let your heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart in the sight of thine eyes. But he says, know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. So many of the things, yes, become vanity. But nevertheless, all the things that we do, he says, do them. But remember, you're going to give an account. God will hold us to that judgment. And so that helps us then to realize that if we're going to be spiritually minded, we need to be careful with the decisions that we make. You know, we all are going to live and die and according to the decisions that we make, by the choices that we make. We know that. And so that's why he warns us here. You're going to do them things, okay, but remember, you're going to give an account. I'd like to read some of the scriptures that it talks about that, how we're going to be given accounting of our works, of our joy, of our life, what we go through. Here's several things that the scriptures talks about. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his works. I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his works and according to the fruit of his doings. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things that are done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And if he call on the Father, who without respect of persons judge according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And I say that, and I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. All of these are scriptures that are found, that we are warned, forewarned, that we are going to give an account for our lives. And that's why when he talks about cast your bread upon the waters, when we begin to sow, when we are spiritually minded to the point that we know what we want to do, we want to serve the Lord to the best of our abilities. And that is through the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's why we're encouraged to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. Because, again, it comes down to this, that we're all going to stand in judgment for the things that we have done, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Let's not be confused, though, because we also read in the scriptures that the way we build, we can build on with gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. This again comes into this casting our bread upon the waters. How are we going to live our lives? Are we going to sow good seed? Are we going to just build on wood, hay, and stubble. And then the scripture says that it'll be tried by fire. Now, the precious stones will withstand that, but the wood, hay, and stubble will burn. But it says he himself will be saved. So we need to understand that we're talking about rewards. When he talks about we're going to be held accountable, that's for our rewards in heaven. Because we're not going to heaven because of the works that we do and how good we were and how bad we were. That's not how we get to heaven. We only go to heaven, we only are saved by grace. We need to understand that. I believe we do understand that. Not by works, lest any man should boast. However, the very next verse, if we read that in Ephesians chapter 2, it says in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So we are created to do these good works. We are created to cast our bread upon the water. So you see how the scriptures all ties it together, that we are created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we're expected, that's expected of us. We read in Matthew 25th chapter where Christ said that he's going to separate sheep from the goats. And the sheep on the right hand are those that fed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, visited the sick, and so on. You know them, all those things that took place. And he said unto them, "Enter into the Lord, unto the Lord. Into thy fold." But the ones on the left, the goats, they told them, "Because you didn't do this, you didn't even do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you didn't do it unto me." So can we see then the importance, how we must, with serving the Lord by our spiritual sowing, casting our bread upon the waters, the importance that lays within that, how we ought to do the things that God expects of us because of our reward in heaven. And not only that we could do this for reward, but that we would bring honor and glory to God. This is why Christ said that we should live and be this light and not hide our light under the bushel, and how we should live our life as a light into this sin-sick world. It's because we're to bring honor and glory to him, that men might see our good works and glorify him, glorify God. That's why we do it. Not only to bring glory to God, but that we have a reward that awaits each and every one of us. So, dearly beloved, as we see here, he says, "Then remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." And, of course, he comes back to this young man, go do what you want to do, but remember you're going to give account for your life. And so, as we read further into the next chapter, even talks about, as he says in verse 8, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity." But then he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So that as we heard about casting our bread upon the water, sowing the good seed, doing the things that we're supposed to do, expected of us, as he says here, this is the whole duty of man. That's keeping God's commandments. And we read in the book of John, the epistle of John, where it says that we should, our works, that we should we should keep his commandments because they're not grievous. If you find that doing good to someone, serving someone, is grievous, you shouldn't even be doing it. You should be doing it out of a goodness of your heart, because God expects this of you, because you love the person, you love the Lord. This is why we do these things. It's not so much that we're going to get a good reward in one way or another, but it's mostly given by love. And that's why the Apostle Paul writes in the 13th chapter of Corinthians, all these things that you do, give your life to burn, you can give all you got, but without love, it's nothing. It's vanity. All is vanity. The love factor has to be there. We have the love for the Lord. This is why we do these things. We're encouraged in the scriptures many places to love the Lord, serve the Lord, and this is how we do it. And so, as he says here, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Again, we are reminded that we're going to be held accountable. But as he says here, the conclusion of the whole matter is, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the duty of man. May God bless these words upon our heart.
Solomon is talking to the youth. He's talking to all of us. You know, a young man can go through life and become an old man and looks back and says, my life, my youth is just one big, big mistake. My manhood was just one big struggle, and now as an old man, I'm full of regrets. That's Solomon. And Solomon is telling you that. Don't go through that. I did it. All the prosperity, all the power, all the pleasure, all the prestige combined together leaves him empty, left him empty. The only thing that can satisfy the soul of a man is God. Don't do what I did. He's speaking from an experience. But we all want to challenge that experience. You made some kind of mistake along the way. I can handle it. He's saying you can't. One big regret is old age. So he says, now you have the power of your youth. Give your life to God. What is the end of man? It's to glorify God. Okay, so I sing. I've done my glorying. Wrong. I've prayed. Wrong. What is it that glorifies God? Complete satisfaction in Him. When we have our full satisfaction in God, that glorifies Him. And that blesses us. And that is what Solomon is urging and teaching and pointing us to. He talks here about what it means to give and to. In the previous chapter, he talks about a dead fly in the ointment. What is a dead fly in the ointment? He's saying that a worldly man, that is a man without Christ, a worldly man whose pleasure is in power, popularity, prestige, prosperity, all those things. If that's your pleasure, if that's where you find for that moment what you're looking for, he says all of your accomplishments, everything that you've accomplished, it's a stinking savor. It stinks. That's what he says, a dead fly in the ointment. Everything you accomplish in this life outside of Christ, it stinks. Glorify God. All of your satisfaction is in Him. Dear ones, there's nothing that can move us then. Nothing that can rob us. Nothing that can make us feel empty. Nothing that makes us feel worthless. Nothing that we need to. We're content in Him. That glorifies Him. And He shines. And then, all of our accomplishments, we don't look at as accomplishments. That's our life in Christ. Everything we do, dear ones, is blessed. Meaning what? That I'm going to have more than you? No. I have peace and I have joy. The conclusion, he says, as the brothers in both languages expound, the conclusion is this: young man, in thy youth, rejoice. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Judgment. For everything I do, everything you do, whatever you do, think about what you did. You'll stand in judgment before God. Idle words, everything, judgment. He closes the following chapter. God shall bring every work into judgment. Every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil. That's the conclusion. Fear God. Keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. And then we will enjoy Him forever. Amen.